This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
Buffington, the Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 184. I'm Brian Shackman along with John Senecal. We actually have quite a bit to talk about today. And just before we came on the air, we got wind of the policy change with the New York Yankees, who have had a longstanding no facial hair, no long hair policy. And what's the news?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, last episode we talked about, I said I don't think it would ever change under the Steinbrenner ownership. But
your hot takes have not been good this week. Just so you know.
Between
that and your Devers hot take, you're 0-2.
Well, I mean, Devers, I feel like there's still a lot to be talked about on that.
Let's talk about the Yankees policy.
This is big news in Yankee land. This is really big news. So, managing partner, general partner, Hal Steinbrenner came out and said, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, in recent weeks, I have spoken to a large number of former and current Yankees spanning several eras to elicit their perspective on our longstanding facial hair policy and grooming policy. And I appreciate their earnest and ongoing internal dialogue that dates back several years. Ultimately, the final decision rests with me, and after great consideration, we will be amending our expectations to allow our players and uniform personnel to have well-groomed beards moving forward. It is an appropriate time to move beyond the familiar comfort of our former policy.
So there you have it. Like, no super-duper long beards, and it doesn't address long hair, correct?
No, well, the hair is shoulder length. I guess that they haven't said anything about that, but it says well-groomed beards. Now, of course, I'm sure the New York media is going to run with this. Is this the Fidel Castro beard? Is it the Drake beard? Is it, you know, how long is well-groomed? I mean, I don't know. I think there's still some interpretation left here, Brian. But big news in Yankee land. I mean, like Matt, our producer, said, I guess we're getting bearded Aaron Judge.
Yeah. I mean, he will not. He will not.
No. No, I don't see Aaron Judge doing it, but I did see a picture of Gleyber Torres with a beard for Media Day, and that was interesting.
Here's my prediction. Alex Verdugo is going to have a great year.
Alex Verdugo hasn't signed with anybody yet. He might not even be playing. So he is unemployed right now.
He would be back with the Yankees for sure if they let him grow a beard last year.
He needs a hit if he wants to come back to the Yankees.
Yeah, he's not coming back, but I was so torn on this because in a weird way, I kind of liked it. And I liked the fact that all these people who were huge personalities conformed to it. But between, you know, from Damon to, I don't know, Giambi had to modify some stuff, I think, to even Verdugo, who is not a major star. I actually think guys who that's part of their persona, I think it actually impacted their identities. I think it negatively impacted sort of who they were, and that would impact how they played.
Yeah, I think it's a big boost for the mental part of the game for the baseball players because, again, like you said, identity. I don't think we're going to get, obviously, because it's well-groomed, we're not going to get the Brian Wilson beards, you know, the fear of the beard where it's, you know, you're losing your granola in it. But, again, this is a huge, huge deal. We're talking about something that is over 50 years old with the Yankees now. You know, like this is a big deal to change this policy. And again, like I said, we'll see how it goes going forward. And I don't know, who's your bets on the first guy that's, I mean, I would say Devin Williams, right? Because that was the one that kind of sparked this latest one. But I'm looking down the list and I'm thinking, who, I can't see Anthony Volpe with a beard.
I can't see Stanton with a beard.
Jason Dominguez, I could see, but is the Rook going to be the one who does it? I don't know. Jazz Chisholm, he's got too much bling for a beard. No, I don't.
He won't do it.
It's gonna be the bullpen guys and the pitchers probably to start it off. But I'd be interested to see Judge in a beard. Boy, what a difference that would be.
Yeah, but you raise a good point. Like, they changed the policy, but outside of Devin Williams, like, who's gonna be the first one to actually do it? I don't want to spend too much time on it because I just think it's kind of silly. But at the same time, it's like one of those things where in like 2025, having rules that regulate people's appearance, it seems so against the time. It just seems so against the times we're in. You know, it's so interesting that this is a big news story for Yankee fans. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. A piece of what I think is like maybe more on-field legitimate news is this extension with Aaron Boone through 27. So it's this year, next year, and the year after. And
yeah, they redoed his contract after last season for this year. So this is an extension for the next 2 years after this year.
Yep. So, I mean, listen, I think it's great for him because as Moneyball, the line with in Moneyball is, you know, it's really hard to manage on a 1 year deal. And it's true. How do you feel about it as a Yankee fan?
Well, I look at it this way. You know, he went to the World Series last year. So obviously, you know, he did something right. But I'm questioning, is this Aaron Boone's last chance with the Yankees? You know, he has a very good track record with the Yankees. Made the playoffs every single season but one. He's made the ALCS three out of the seven years. You know, very high winning percentage. You know, he's up there with Casey Single and Torrey. But, you know, if he doesn't get that World Series in the next 3 years, I don't see him coming back to the Yankees. You know, will he make it the next 3 years? I mean, obviously time tells that, but he made it to the World Series this year, so expectations are, I mean, we made the World Series in 2024, so expectations are he'll be back this year. But, you know, I like it.
What if he makes the playoffs three straight years but doesn't win a World Series?
I think he's gone. I mean, Joe Girardi, I mean, he made the World Series and he was gone the following year. You know, I mean, I just think it's one of those Yankee things where your time has run out. I mean, Joe Torre, this time ran out too, right? So, you know, by the time these 3 years are up, he'd be at the Yankees, you know, around 10 years. You know, if he doesn't bring a World Series, I think he's out the door.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that it seems that the team is softer than they were on this with previous managers. Like, I mean, I feel like, I think, first of all, George would have fired him already. He wouldn't be
yes.
here.
2 years, George would have fired him when they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
So this seems like a kinder, gentler sort of regime type thing. But even, you know, which I feel like Girardi was treated a little harsher than Boone.
Something with Girardi, though, because he hasn't stuck anywhere.
Was it 2 years ago they had that awful start? Because last year they had the great start, right? It was 2 years ago they had that awful start.
2 years ago was when Tampa went nuts. They went crazy, and no one was even close to catching them. So that was basically, you know, everyone was playing pretty good, but Tampa was just playing way above their ceiling.
Well, I mean, good for him. I mean, I think he can manage with a clear conscience this year. He's got millions in the bank no matter what happens. And so I think that, you know, if they can get Stanton healthy and they don't win, I think this is kind of it. The AL is, I mean, Houston's not going to be Houston. And, like, who's going to be their challenger in the American League?
Sure, well, we're hoping Boston, right?
I mean, I think that the AL looks weak.
Yeah.
It doesn't look deep and it doesn't look that strong. So, I would put Yankees as the favorite to make the World Series. Now, and as we always say, you never know what can happen in a seven-game series. But, like, you know, I would say it's the Dodgers. I mean, I think they could beat the Dodgers in the seven-game series. I mean, I'm not saying they'd be a favorite, but they could definitely do it.
I mean, I'll argue that probably going into this season, this 2025 season, that this is probably the most complete roster that Aaron Boone has got. in his tenure with the Yankees, you know, that being the starting rotation, the bullpen, you know, there's no Clay Holmes questions. Stanton's injured right now, which is, you know, except everybody knows that is going to happen. Soto's gone, but you did make more pieces. So I think this is a very complete team. So the expectations will be high for Boone. But again, much easier to manage when there's some stability.
He's John Seneca, Brian Jackman. This is episode 184 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Listen, the signing of Alex Bregman makes the Red Sox better. A lot of people in and around the Red Sox that I listen to and talk to think that this team is playoff worthy. Whether they can eclipse the Orioles, I mean, I don't know if they'll challenge for first place, but the wild card is definitely, I mean, if they don't win 85 plus, it'd be a big disappointment, I would say. I mean, they should win between 85 and 90, I would guess. And then the Devers stuff has put a real chink in the armor to review the week. You know, Devers is asked, you know, if he's moved to second. He basically says, no, I'm the third baseman. A couple of players on the team back him up. And then Bregman, which is stellar performance from him, says, I'll play wherever you want me. And the statistics are pretty clear. Bregman is a way better third baseman than Rafi Devers. And Rafi Devers, arguably based on certain metrics, might be one of the worst third basemen in baseball.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to know what's going to happen. To me, like, the way I feel, to be honest, if they acquiesce to Devers and let Bregman go to second, I think it's a horrible move by the Red Sox in the sense that it lets you know that the lunatics can run the asylum. And I just think, honestly, like, and I don't love Devers. I say screw him. Getting paid $30-35 million a year, I would just move him. Now, a lot of people think that that's not going to happen. A lot of people think he should be able to play third and then play himself out of the position. And, but I just think, what a jack! What a jackass! I think he's a jackass. And I understand it. Like, I'd be pissed too. Like, if somebody said to me, you know, you're not going to host your morning show, you're gonna be a co-host, or you're gonna start to do weather, like, I'd be mad too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation for everybody. But I feel like, you know, if what is being reported all along coming out of the camp is true, the Red Sox botched this from the get go. If they were not talking,
did they have told them?
Well, apparently Devers had no idea that they were going to sign Bregman. Now, you can say what you want about that. I mean, I have a hard time believing that the Red Sox went out and spent $120 million and didn't even mention it to Devers. Now, they might have mentioned that they're signing him, but there's not going to be any controversy. Sounds like Devers was going on some old Heim Bloom stuff that he was going to be the third baseman. But come on, listen, you're making $30 million a year. You statistically are the worst starting third baseman in Major League Baseball over the last 5 years with defensive runs saved. So, you know, it's time for you to suck up your pride, and it's time for you to do what's best for the team. Listen, do you want a World Series ring again, or do you want to sit there and boot balls at third base like Roger Dorn? You know,
that's the point that I glom onto. I think that there are certain athletes out there, like, if that's true about
Mike Trout.
No, but
he's going to the right field.
Well, then send – if Devers just – he's set for life financially. He gets to play baseball for a living. If he truly doesn't care about winning, which he says he does, but if he doesn't acquiesce to the move, then I'm not – I can question that. Then ship him somewhere else.
Yeah, ship him – what about shipping him to Toronto? Toronto has a star player right now that is not going to come back to their team. We know that. He is not going back to their team.
That's a great podcast sort of bar stool fodder. Would you trade Devers straight up for Vlad Guerrero?
Well, I don't think it will be a straight up trade, just given the fact that Guerrero only has one season left contract. So there's no stability there going forward guaranteed with the Red Sox, much like Soto with the Yankees. So I would think it'd be something with a prospect involved, maybe him and Casas or something. I don't know, but maybe a prospect and Devers going to Toronto. But I could see it happening because, listen, there's a lot of money involved with Devers, right? But it's a lot less money than Guerrero commands, and Toronto's not going to pay him that. We know that. He's going to want big money.
Have you read? I mean, I haven't read much about this, but if you did a cost, first of all, First question: Would you make the Casas Devers for Vlad deal?
Yes, I would. I would okay. do it.
So you do it because what it does is that Vlad goes to first, and then obviously Bregman goes to third, and then they have this prospect they really like, and they put him at second. I mean, that would.
And they hope, right? And if they don't, they go out and they get someone like a Jose Iglesias or someone off the scrap heap to fill that spot, second base, that you know can play and will handle the position.
Sure.
They're out there.
I like that. I like Vlad Guerrero. He's sort of like Mo Vaughn and Big Poppy rolled into one. You know what I mean? Like
And he'll have a way better personality to deal with than Rafi Devers does. He will have a much better personality to handle the media and all that.
Oh, yeah. He'll be super popular. I love that idea. Have you seen anything credible that's talked about it?
If it's being talked about, it's credible in my opinion, Brian. If there's smoke, there's fire somewhere because the numbers make sense. The way the going right now on these players that are of Vlad Guerrero's caliber. Listen, Juan Soto just got a $600-something million contract and he's a one-dimensional player.
Yeah, it's crazy. Listen, I want to ask you, obviously, spring training now officially underway, classic stuff, and season's going to start pretty early because of this Asia trip. What are they doing? I didn't look into the story too deeply. What's going on with the automatic strike zone stuff?
Yeah, so this is the first season that you're going to see some remnants of it. And I say season because I'm saying season starting now, spring training. This will not be in the actual Major League Baseball season, but this is the first time you're seeing it at the Major League Baseball level. Before this, it's been around since 2021 in the minor leagues being tested out. But you are going to be seeing that it's called the ABS system. It's sponsored by like T-Mobile. They use sophisticated cameras, but it's basically a ball strike challenge system. And each team's going to get two challenges per game that only the pitcher, the catcher, or the hitter can identify. And it has to be instantaneous right after the umpire makes his call. So they say there's not supposed to be any dugout interference, but I've already seen where I think teams have already got call things out where they're thinking, you know, something, a keyword to say challenge or something like that. But I don't know how he can do it because it's so fast. The replay, right. I don't think, would come in that fast. But listen, we know these Major League Baseball players and pitchers have great eyes. They have awesome eyes, and they know what's a ball and a strike. And it's already been challenged on day one of spring training between the Cubs and the Dodgers, where the pitcher for the Cubs, Cody Petit, former Yankee, challenged a pitch with Max Muncy that was not called a strike and actually won it. And got called a strike. So if you win your...
umpires do their job, but you're allowed a challenge like in the NFL.
Yep.
And what happens if you lose? There's no penalty if you lose a challenge. You just have a couple per game.
Yep, you get two. If you lose your challenge, you lose it. And then if you lose two challenges, you're done. So you got to ration them out.
You get to keep a challenge?
Keep it. You get to keep it.
Okay, so if you win the challenge, you still have two, and you can keep going.
But remember this. Now, you're relying on your players. This is not something where you're going to sit there and get 30 seconds, like a instant replay, to look at real quick.
Yeah,
you got to.
Listen, I don't like replay. I'd rather go back to human faultiness, fallibility. But this is interesting because it's not like they're calling the whole game. The umps are still there. But if you had this with Angel Hernandez, I think it would made a big difference. So.
Well, there was only two challenges a game, Ryan, not an inning. So
I kind of like it. What do you think?
I think it's good for baseball. It's fast. It's with technology nowadays. I don't know why it hasn't been done yet. But again, you have to try it out. You have to have both sides sign off on it. I think this is just another step, and you will most likely probably see this system coming in 2026 to Major League Baseball. It's fast. Technology is there. And listen, we both know that a strike or a ball can decide the outcome of a game, especially in the playoffs. Playoffs.
Anything else before you sign off?
No, I mean, Major League Baseball, I guess, technically has started. I mean, the Yankees and Red Sox will be starting up as we speak. And it's exciting, man. Baseball is back. We watch USA, unfortunately, lose to Canada in hockey in their round two matchup that they had. But, hey, it's baseball season.
I want to ask one last question because I talked about this on my morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080. Streaming on the Odyssey app, by the way. The ESPN not renewing their rights deal, I thought, was notable because my hot take on that is that you know, these leagues, they can't take a pay cut because the perception would be so damaging, right? They always have to grow these broadcast rights. ESPN wanted them to take a little haircut. Baseball said, screw you, and ESPN walked. And my biggest takeaway is, I mean, I know things are tight, belts are tightening at ESPN, and this, you might not like it, but I think it shows you that as a TV game, baseball is not where it's at. It's just not where it's at.
It's a long game. We've talked about this in the past. It's tough to sit down and watch. But, you know, what this tells me is that Major League Baseball is pivoting itself to control the content, right? There's only a few big teams out there, like the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Cubs, that have these big deals, the Braves, that can handle, you know, distributing their own rights and everything. But, you know, we saw the Bally Networks all fall last year, and Major League Baseball is actually, I think they got the Brewers and another team under their umbrella already. So this is just the beginning, in my opinion. There'll be big fights with the Dodgers and Yankees, but they're not worried about those teams. Major League Baseball is not worried about those teams. People are going to show up, and they're going to watch them no matter how they get it.
They consolidate everything and broadcast it all themselves?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, they'll still be the games of the week on Fox and everything, but 95% or 85% or whatever you want to call it, the weekly stuff, the Monday through Friday stuff, is going to wind up going through some MLB distribution, in my opinion. It's going to take time, obviously, because you got to work out the deals, but this Bally stuff falling in the last season and a half was a big domino.
Hi, Duke. Well, we'll be watching. It's baseball season. It's still cold up here in New England, but
freezing cold in New England.
I have tickets for opening day secured. I'm going again at Fenway on Sunday, May 4th. So I got two games I'm hitting, I know, already in the first 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to make that May 4th one with you. But, yeah, it's Boston. I'm in Boston now. I'm working up here during the week, and there was a lot of buzz in the city last night with that hockey game. On Thursday night, there's a lot of buzz in the city, but you know, I'll be interesting to see how it pivots towards the baseball season and the buzz around the Red Sox.
Consider, even though the Bruins are down and the Patriots are down, right now I would still put the Sox 4 out of 4, and we'll see if that changes if they start off pretty good. You've been listening to Fan Base, deep dive into the greatest rivalry in.